Hey, good morning, Victory. How you doing? Come on, put your hands together. Hello, hello. Happy Sunday morning. My name is Troy. My wife, Darla, and I get the amazing privilege to pastor this church. And if you are visiting with us, as Brian and Zoe said, we'd love for you to just reach out and get connected so we can help you find your tribe, your family here, and not just be a Sunday morning ministry. I always like to take a second and bring attention to what God's doing through the finances of the church. Thank you to those that give through tithing and offering every month. We always talk about not only what we're able to do right here in these four walls on Sunday morning, but what's happening outside of these four walls. And we continue to celebrate that we raised $25,000 for Bibles. Come on, put your hands together. I just had the opportunity after first service to speak with Rose. That's our connection of getting the Bibles to the Congo. And so it was great just to talk through her and her husband. So excited. And then I wanted to share a real quick story. Many of you know our missionary to Costa Rica, Katie Carter, right? Put your hands together for Katie Carter. She listens every Sunday. So what's up, Katie Carter? And she was sharing how we sent some Bibles to her recently. And she was sharing how she was getting her nails done. And she led the lady that was doing her nails to the Lord. All right. So first of all, let's just give God praise for that. That's incredible. And then in that conversation, the lady started coming to church, and she was bringing her daughter, but her daughter isn't quite as passionate yet as she is. And so Katie was calling to let me know that that little girl's birthday is coming up, and she's going to be gifting her one of the Bibles that we sent for her birthday. And we just prayed right there on the phone for that little girl to come to know Jesus. And I'm just excited about what God is doing, not just right here in Smyrna, but all the way to the Congo, all the way to Costa Rica. Thank you for your faithfulness. As the video said, if you say, man, I want to get behind what God's doing, not just in Victory, but around the world, you can do that in those three ways. And we just love for you to partner with us as we continue to see God move. Amen? You excited to be here this morning? All right. Hey, if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. I'll be reading here in a moment from 1 Peter, but the meat of this message is going to be found in Matthew chapter 14, so you can turn in your Bibles, you can look behind me on the screen or your phones, whatever it might be. Then we're in a series called Holy and Healthy. Holy and Healthy is this idea that if we're not careful, you and I will be faithful to church, we'll have perfect Sunday school attendance, we'll be faithful to church, but we'll be unhealthy. So this idea that we can be sold out to God, right? We can be sold out to going to church and attending church, but still have an unhealthy marriage or have an unhealthy financial life. And being able to get around that and realize how to go after that to a point where we are both holy and healthy. So I want to read to you in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 20. And it says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Talking about Jesus. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. So our faith is hope is in God through Jesus. "Now that you have purified yourselves, obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not," watch this, "not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God." Now, I show you this because I want you to see the spiritual maturity of Peter. The same Peter that in the Gospels, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see him deny Jesus three times. We see him be rebuked by Jesus and called Satan. We see even in the moment where he's in the garden and trying to stop Jesus from getting arrested, and he pulls the sword and cuts off the soldier's ear. We see all this spiritual immaturity of Peter throughout the Gospels. But then we get to 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and we start seeing this real spiritual maturity where he's dropping these spiritual bombs on us. And the question is, how do you go from here to hear? How do you go from cutting off soldiers' ears and denying Jesus to being able to bring this real deep spirituality? And so what we've been doing in this series is we've been taking all of these interactions with Jesus and we've been looking at them, and then we've been asking ourselves, what can we learn from them? So I want to talk to you this morning from the idea, the paradox of obedience. The paradox of obedience. When you look at growth and the functions that lead to growth, okay? So for example, physical growth is a function of time. None of us are born 11 feet tall, right? And none of us are born 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, but as we're born, and then over time, kind of we grow. So time brings that physical growth. You think about intellectual growth, right? That doesn't just come automatically. That comes from a function of learning, right? We go to school, we read books, whatever it might be. And then there is spiritual growth, and spiritual growth is a function of obedience. Everybody say obedience. So physical growth, function of time. Intellectual growth, function of learning. Spiritual growth, a function of obedience. This is why Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. What I believe Jesus is saying is that if you love me, then you will obey my commands. And as you grow spiritually, with this spiritual growth, you will move into obedience. He's also saying that as you grow spiritually, you'll be obedient. But also, as you are obedient, you will grow spiritually. Make sense? What we have to understand is what obedience is not. Obedience is not going about our own way and then all of a sudden inviting God into it when it's convenient. It's not us coming up with our own plans and then when all of a sudden the wheels fall off and we're in trouble, now we want to involve God. That's not what obedience is. Obedience is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's having God as the director of our lives. Amen? You may not know this, but as the band's up here leading worship, there is a music director. And so they normally have kind of a microphone to be able to speak, and the different band members have earpieces, and you can't hear them. But all throughout the worship time, he's directing them. And that's the visual that we need to have when it comes to obedience to God, that God is directing our lives. Watch this, not just on Sunday, but every day. Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, at work, at home, with our finances and our marriage, that in every area of our life, we are obeying God, and we are obeying God because God is directing us and we are doing what God is asking us to do. And so in this series, we have come to a couple of different thoughts through the studies of Peter. Number one, our first week was this idea that if you and I are going to grow spiritually, we're going to have to go through the wall. We're going to have to address the things in our life that are deep down, that are painful, that when they're touched, they're sensitive, that we often run away from and we don't want to talk about. We're going to have to address those things. Week two, we talked about in order to grow spiritually, we're going to have to become more self-aware. We're going to have to be honest about our weaknesses and our failures. But in the process of becoming self-aware, we cannot allow that to move into us defining our self-worth, that those are separate. And then last week, we talked about that if we're going to grow spiritually, we need to learn to live unoffendable. That we can live through the filter of God's forgiveness over our life, and therefore we can forgive anybody. No matter what's happened, we can live in the forgiveness that God has forgiven us for, and now we can become unoffendable. And then today, what we're going to learn is that if you and I want to grow spiritually, we need to live in everyday obedience. Not just Sunday obedience, but everyday obedience. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14 now, where you're at in your Bibles. We're going to start reading at verse 25. To give you a little bit of context, this is the story that you may be familiar with where Peter walks on water. We sung about this just a moment ago in the classic song, Oceans. And Jesus sends the disciples to go and travel. They get in the boat. They're on the water. And then Jesus is going to come, and we'll pick up in verse 25. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. This is evidence that Jesus is a G. You know what I mean? Like he comes to them on the lake. He doesn't come by boat. He comes to them walking on the lake. And it says the disciples see him walking on the lake and they're terrified, as you naturally would be. They say it's a ghost and they cry out in fear. Jesus then speaks up and immediately says to them, take courage, for it is I. Do not be afraid. Now watch this. Peter's response is, Lord, if it's you, then tell me to come. If it's you, then tell me to come to you on the water. If it's you, not only tell me to come to you, but tell me to get out of this boat and walk on water. And then watch this. Jesus says, come, come. And then Peter gets down out of the boat, walks on the water, and goes toward Jesus. Now, all throughout this series, we've been kind of talking about how we see the parallel of us in Peter, right? Like there's just moments of insecurity and moments of immaturity and moments of lack of faith where I go like, man, that's me. You know what I mean? Because Peter's like he's righteous and he's ratchet. You know what I mean? So there's just like moments where you can kind of see yourself in him. And I don't know if this was the case, but I wonder if in this moment, Peter is saying to Jesus, tell me to come out on the water. But he's kind of saying it, not really expecting him to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's saying it, but he's not really, he's thinking Jesus might say something like, ha, my son. Like, you know, I'll come to you. I don't know if that's how Jesus talks, but there's just kind of this interaction. And I think that like Peter has the audacity to say, if it's you, tell me to get out of this boat and walk on water. And then Jesus had the audacity to say, come on then. And Peter's like, say what? Like, you know, there's just like this whole moment. But the sweet part of this story is the moment that Peter obeys. It's the moment where Jesus says, come, and Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk. Obedience to God can be referred to as radical. It can be referred to as outrageous, because obedience to God calls you and I to relinquish control of every part of our life every day. Sometimes being obedient to God is considered radical because of the depth in which he's asking us to do. For example, to obey Jesus, Peter had to walk on water. He had to defy gravity, guys. So there's a time where Jesus called somebody that had been lame for many, many years to get up and take their mat. That's radical obedience. There was a time where a man had traveled pretty far to find Jesus to let him know about his sick child, to which he found out in the process that the child had died. And Jesus said, go back and believe that they are healed. That's radical faith. It's radical obedience. There's a time where he told his disciples to take the sack lunch and feed these thousands of people. That's radical obedience. He'll tell people to move from Memphis and start a church in Antioch. Like, that's radical obedience. Sometimes God's calling on our life is radical because of the depth in which he asks us to do. Sometimes it's outrageous and it's radical because it's simple, but it's every day. See, it's not just the big things, y'all. It's the everyday things. It's the little things. It's the continuation. It's getting up every day and obeying God while we read our word. It's getting up every day and obeying God as we go to church and as we raise our kids in the scriptures. Sometimes obedience to people around us will think that obedience to God is radical and outrageous because it's relinquishing our life every day. True obedience is saying yes to God's plan. To whatever God's plan is for your marriage, whatever God's plan is for your family, whatever God's plan is for your life, for your career, for your finances, true obedience is saying yes to God's plan. Watch this. It's movement without the certainty of the outcome. It's stepping out of the boat not knowing if you're going to stand or sink. True obedience is trusting God. And here's why we can trust him. Watch this. We believe, first of all, that his vantage point is better than ours. That what we see and what God sees is different. That even though what we see and what we think makes sense and doesn't make sense, understand that God's vantage point is better, and therefore he knows more than us. Amen? It's also, watch this, believing that God doesn't make mistakes. We can move in true obedience to God because we believe that he doesn't make mistakes. I'll never forget this. It was in the middle of 2020, and everything was going crazy, and I genuinely wondered for a moment if we had made a mistake planning the church. And I'm so glad that I didn't stay in that thought. Because you fast forward to now, and we see God's faithfulness, and we see that all what God's doing, so we have to be able to walk in obedience with that assurance that God doesn't make mistakes. And then here's the thing that I really want to focus on today. We move in obedience believing that God has our best interests in heart. You can be obedient to God's word. You can be obedient to God's leading when you truly believe in your heart that God has what's best for you in mind. Many of you know Pastor Ron. He'll come and speak with us. He's my spiritual mentor, the pastor in whose ministry I was saved under. And a while back, he had the opportunity to go minister in South Africa. And so he was in South Africa, and he got there kind of late in the night. So he runs up to his room, and he puts his bags and everything in his room, and he runs down to the concierge, and he asks the concierge if he can get him an Uber or some type of rental car. And he says, sure, where are you going? And I can't remember the exact location, but he says, I want to go and see Nelson Mandela's house. He had done enough research to know that it was close to him, and he could go and visit and see it. It was on his bucket list to be able to see Nelson Mandela's house. And so he tells the concierge, I want to get a car. so I can go visit it and go see it. And the concierge says, not tonight. And, you know, Pastor Ron's taken back a little bit. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you're wanting to go out to his house and visit his house? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you do that in the morning. He goes, well, why not tonight? He said, well, you want to come back alive, right? Pastor Ron's like, yeah, of course. He says, then you don't go tonight. You go in the morning. Pastor Ron said, thank you very much, grabbed his stuff, and went up to his room. Now, how foolish would it have been to not obey him? This guy knew more than Pastor Ron knew. This guy had a different vantage point. He knew the lay of the land. He knew what was safe and what wasn't safe. And so he was letting him know, because he had his best interest in heart, he was letting him know, you shouldn't do this. And now Pastor Ron could have said, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to go anyway, but he would have to deal with the consequences. But Pastor Ron believed that this guy had in his heart his best interest. So he said, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. When we obey God, it's because we believe he has our best interest at heart. And so even though it may not be what we don't want to do, even though it may be something that we don't understand, we trust it, we obey it, we move forward in it because he has a better vantage point. Because God doesn't make mistakes. Because he does care about us and love us, and he knows what's coming in the future. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the best forever, he's best tomorrow. If he's best tomorrow, he's best next week. He already knows what is in the future, what it holds. And so that's why we obey what he says. Now listen, there is like this misunderstanding in our culture that the more we obey, the less we find ourselves free. There's kind of this understanding in our culture that, like, obeying is a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like if we obey God, we're going to miss out on something. Like, if we go right, even though we want to go left, that we're not going to experience the best, and that's a negative thing to obey God. It's funny. You'll even see this trickle down when you start talking about marriages and husbands and wives obeying each other and submitting to each other. You'll see people kind of put a negative thought to it. People start looking at it like a dog obeys their master, and they start kind of tweaking it a little way where it's incorrect and it's wrong, and you're missing the point of it. Listen, I would argue that it is my obedience to God that opens the door for true freedom. I would argue that me living my life, doing what I wanted to do, has put me in more chains than obeying God. Because when I follow my will and my way, my vantage point is limited. Well, what I think is best for me is faulted. What I believe my future holds is incorrect. Because I'm operating by flesh and what I know, but God's at a different vantage point. God knows what's best for me. God loves me and has a plan for me to prosper. So when I am obedient to God, when I put aside my will and I trust God's will, I think I'm more free than I am when I don't obey. I had this illustration thought, and those of you that have kids, you know what this is like. The more that your kid obeys you, the more freedom you give them. Once your kid arrives at a place where you can say stop, and they stop, or come here, and they come here, you can kind of let them have some freedom. Because you know that the moment they end up in a place that's unsafe, you know the moment that they go too far, or they run into the road, or whatever it might be, you can scream, stop, and they'll stop. You know they will obey, and so you can give them more freedom. But when they're at that age where they don't stop when you say stop, or they don't come here, you got to keep one of them Disney World leashes on them. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch over them. You got to restrict them. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God keeps us close while we're spiritually young, when we don't know how to obey or when to obey. But the more that we are consistent in obeying God, the more he can let us experience things. The more we get to walk in that freedom. I once heard an illustration that talked about having a dog in the backyard and you take the chain off, but you take the chain off the dog because there's a fence. And when we are obeying God, those chains can be off because we are protected. Y'all remember a message I did a few months ago where we had the umbrella, the lordship of God, and we were under the lordship of God? When we trust God and obey God, we are more free than when we don't. That's what we need here. Culture will tell you, oh, you're missing out. When you go left and God's telling you to go right, you're missing out if you don't go left. And I'm telling you, you are not missing out. I'm telling you that God has in mind what's best for you. I want to show you a quote from Craig Rochelle. Powerful quote, where he says, "We perceive obedience as God's test to see if we're really committed. But what if it's God's way of giving us what's best for us?" Listen to this, y'all. I grew up in a very religious time, a very religious experience. And it was real easy for me to get the thought process that the only reason God wants me to obey is because he wants to make sure I'm in check. And then you start allowing that thought process to really settle in your mind, and you lose the fact of what the purpose of obedience to God is, and you start to rebel against it. Because you start to think that, and go back to Genesis in the beginning where the enemy tempted Eve, and what did he say? You're missing out on something. God told me I couldn't do this. Did he? You're missing out on something. And that's what culture will start to tell us, is that as we are obeying God, we're missing out on something. But I love the way Craig Rochelle says, but what if? What if? What if it's actually God's way of giving us what's best for us? What if you being obedient to God's calling on your life is God's way of you getting what's best for you? Right? What if God already knows? What if God's already got it planned out? What if God is steps in front of you and steps beyond you and he already knows? I had the opportunity this past week to visit Santa Monica, California. There is a friend of mine that I've met. I'll explain in a minute how I met him. And I got to go spend a couple of days with him. I'll tell you now. So the situation is, he used to be the executive director of the Y in North Rutherford. And Smyrna and I was on the board. And I had the opportunity to be on the board and interviewing him and hire him as the executive director. Well, then he ends up getting the CEO position at the Santa Monica Y, and he takes that position. And so when he moved, we immediately said, man, we got to do our best to get together. Every time we get together, it's just iron and sharpening and iron vision like crazy. And so we had some people bless me with a plane ticket to go see him, and I got to spend a few days with him. And so it was just a great day of sightseeing, and we would sit down and talk through vision for that he had for Y, vision I had for the church, and it was just an amazing time. And so the first morning that we're there, we're headed to the YMCA. We're going to work out. And I said, well, hey, you know, if you know anything about me here in the church, you know I'll do my prayer walk at the Y every day. And so I told him on the way there, I said, you know, I got to do my prayer walk. He said, don't worry, I got you. And so we get to the YMCA, and he takes me to the roof of the building. And at the roof of the building is just this little track that goes around the roof. And he said, I'm going to go in this room and work. You let me know when you're done. So I put my headphones in, and I start walking, you know, this track and just praying. And it was just this amazing experience. And as I'm walking, there are times where at certain parts of the track where all I see is palm trees, where all I see is the ocean of Santa Monica Beach. And y'all just had this moment where I was like, I don't deserve to be here. You know, just this idea that here I am in Santa Monica, California, like I don't deserve to be here. With who I am and my, I just, this is God's blessing on my life. And this detail may not matter to you, but it's important that it was free. That's God's blessing. And so I know I'm preaching on this obedience topic, and I'm sitting there just kind of reflecting, and I felt the Lord tell me, if you are not obedient to plant the church, you're not here. Because let's go all the way back to when we're in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're sitting in a room with about 18 people, and we got this great idea to start a church in a place we've never been with people we've never met. And it's scary, but we're obedient to that moment. And because we're obedient, we move here. And because we're obedient to move here, we get in a school in Smyrna. And because we're obedient to be in that school in Smyrna, I decide I want to serve and be a part of the community. So I go to the Y and join the board of the Y. And then I go to being the board chair of the Y. And then I'm sitting in the room while we're hiring Hodge. And then I'm there through the process of Hodge. And then we build a relationship, and he moves, and he invites me. And if we don't plant the church, I'm not in Santa Monica. I want you to understand that God has what's best for you in mind. That he's already seen steps beyond where you are. And that if you're not careful, this incorrect theology that trusting God is not freedom will keep you trapped in your box. And you will miss out on all of these great things that God has for you if you will just trust and obey God. There will be a time, y'all, there'll be a time where you'll look back and go, how did I get here? When I said that in first service, I just felt the Lord give me this thought. There's a lot of people who are trapped by sin saying, how did I get here? When we disobey, we find ourselves in these situations where we're crying out, how did I get here? When we obey God, we find ourselves in these situations of blessing going, how did I get here? How did I get here? Obeying God. It's wild to me that God's plans for us go way beyond our thinking and our understanding. That we can't even sit down and plan and dream what God has for us. But that the only way we're going to be able to unlock it is by being obedient to what he tells us to do. So here's my question for you. Ready? Deep theological question. Who was more free? The men sitting in the boat or the one walking on water? Which one? I mean, just imagine being Peter for a second, y'all. Imagine stepping out of this boat and walking. You are defying gravity. You are doing something that only one other person in the world has ever done. And that person was Jesus. That's a pretty good flex, right? You know what I mean? Like you roll up to a table with a bunch of guys and y'all start talking and you're sharing all these great adventures you've had. Well, what have you ever done? Well, I once walked on water. Like, that's pretty impressive. And so he gets to experience this incredible moment. And it's all because he trusted God. It's all because he obeyed God. So I'd ask you, who's more free? The one who obeyed God and is defying gravity and doing something that is outside the natural understanding, or the people that are just sitting in the boat? I was talking to a young lady after the first service, and she was sharing something that God has allowed her to do that she didn't think she would ever do. And she said, it doesn't measure up to being in Santa Monica. And I said, hey, being in Santa Monica doesn't measure up to walking on water. But for all of us, it's an experience that's beyond our understanding. It's us being able to go places and do things that we never thought we'd be able to do because of our desire and commitment to obey God. And so I'm trying to get you to challenge this cultural mindset that if you do what God asks you to do, you are limiting yourself and what you can experience, and move you to a mindset that says, when I obey God, I am removing all limits to whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. But here's the truth. How do you and I continue to trust God and obey God in times where it's difficult to do so? Because the truth is, we all, when there's a moment that God calls us to move, we all have a tendency to check the weather forecast. Right? Y'all ever been in one of those moments? Y'all are really quiet on me today. You ever been in one of those moments where God asks you to do something, and if you're honest, there's a moment where you check the weather, like, let's just, I don't know about that. Because that's outside of my understanding, right? From the vantage point view that I have, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not sure that this is going to work out. There's this moment of hesitation where we're concerned just a little bit. And what's cool about Matthew chapter 14 and what we're about to see is that Peter shows us exactly what it was that put him in a place where he could move in radical obedience. So I want to show you, let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. I want to show you what you and I can do to be faithful, to be obedient to God in every area of our life on every day. It says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, everybody say, saw the wind. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Now, there's something you have to be able to, you kind of have to add a couple things together here, okay? First of all, remember when this story started, Peter said to Jesus, if it is you, ask me to come. Y'all remember that? If it is you, ask me to come. Go ahead and bring this prop up here for me. So here's what Peter's doing. Peter is establishing, thank you, sir. Peter is establishing identity. If it's you, tell me to come. If it's Jesus, the Son of God, then you tell me to do something beyond my ability. If it's Jesus, the miracle worker that I have seen, if it's Jesus, the Savior of the world, if it's you, tell me to come. Because if you tell me to come, I'll believe it's you because I believe you can help me do it. So he's establishing identity. Then the Bible tells you that he steps out and he starts walking on water and he's got his eyes fixated on Jesus. He's established the identity of Jesus. He is locked in on Jesus. But then he takes his eyes off of Jesus because he starts to see this storm and this wind. And as he takes his focus off of Jesus, he begins to sink. He goes from standing on the confidence of the identity of who God is to looking at the situation that's happening around him. And here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. That for you and I, obedience is only possible by the grace of God. The only thing that gives us the strength to obey God is the grace of God. And that we have to really establish the identity of God. We have to establish that he wants what's best for us, that he cares for us, that he has plans to prosper us. We have to establish who he is so that we can obey him and take that step. And after we've taken that step, we have to stay in the idea and the knowledge and the confidence of who he is. Because if our attention ever gets off of who he is and on of who we are, then we'll begin to sink. But if our attention stays on who he is, listen to me. When it comes to peace in the process of obeying God, you will not find it in the certainty of peace. You will find it in the certainty of the presence of Jesus. So this concept of obeying God, you don't find peace in obeying God because you're going to find certainty of peace. It's a byproduct of the certainty of the presence of Jesus. Make sense? So what God's telling you to do and the confidence that you need to do it, there's never going to be a worldly attribute of it that gives you confidence and faith. It's going to be the presence of God. So I thought I wanted to illustrate a story for you. I've shared this with you before, but the Lord brought it back to my heart. And it makes a lot of sense for what we're talking about. One day, I was getting something out of the attic of our house. And when I went up the stairs to the attic, my youngest, Casey Ray, came up and said, "Can I go up with you?" I said, "Sure, come on." So I brought her up the attic steps, and we're in the attic, kind of looking around, doing our thing, and I got what I needed. I said, "All right, let's go down." So I go down first, just in case something was to happen, she would fall onto me. And I get to the floor, and she's coming down, and she stops about halfway. And she looks at me, she goes, "Dad." "Oh, yeah." She goes, "Can I fall back?" I'm like, "What?" She's like, "You know, can I fall back and you catch me?" And it was so interesting because the Lord started showing me the parallel of his son Peter in a boat going, "Can I walk on water?" You know what I mean? Can you just call me to do something that's outside of my ability? Can I do something of great significance? Can I do something crazy and wild that shames the wise? Can I do something that adds super to natural? Can I be a part of something that's huge? Can I, if it's you, tell me to come. It's like Peter, let me go. Can I go? Can I walk on water? And so she asked me, can I fall back? And I thought about it for a second because Darla wasn't home and normally it's when my kids get injured. And so I was like, "Yeah, I tell you what, yeah." I said, "Come down a couple more steps so you don't hit your head, but yeah, I'll catch you." And y'all, she's up there. Don't worry, I practiced this, all right? So I didn't really practice it, but it's enough. And she's up there. And this was the interesting moment to me because I've already approved her to do it. So I'm thinking she's about to go. And she starts to kind of like hesitate a little bit. And it was interesting because as I was prepping for this and I'm up here, I started realizing why she would be scared to begin with. Because it's a totally different vantage point. And it's one thing to ask God to call you out on the water when you're on solid ground. it's another thing to keep following him when you're standing on it. And there's this vantage point of like, you know what? I asked you if I could do it, but I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And there was like this moment, you know, her knees are knocking, you know, she's just kind of nervous. I started thinking about Peter being in the boat. If it's you, Jesus, tell me to come. Come. I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And, you know, there's this whole interaction between me and her. And I'm on the ground. And I'm saying, I'll catch you. Come on, I'll catch you. And multiple times, y'all, multiple times, I had to assure her. I had to remind her, you know, I'll catch you. So she's up here, shaking, worried, and I'm reestablishing and reaffirming, I'm for you. I have your best interest in mind. If you will trust me and obey me and let go, I'll catch you. And there's this whole process where she's kind of has this inner dialogue, and she goes, okay, I'm ready, and she lets go. And y'all know right then, I'm like, God, please let me catch her. And I catch her. And then what happened? Anybody know what happened after that? She wanted to do it again. Ran right back up it again. Let me do it again. Ran right back up it. Now we'll say this. Even though she had done it once, when she ran up to do it again, there was still a little hesitation. Because I'm telling y'all, it's different when you're here and when you're here. There's just a different, it's not bad. There's just a hesitation. And the more you know God, and the more you know how God loves you, the less there is hesitation. I felt pressed to tell you, God is not mad at the hesitation. I think sometimes we can fall into the lie that, oh, I hesitated to obey God. Y'all know there's that whole saying that, if it's not immediate obedience, it's not obedience. I would tell you that the grace of God is able to walk through your hesitation. But you got to trust him. At some point, you got to let go and let God, right? But what's going to build confidence in you? What's going to get you to a point where you radically obey God? Is going to be the fact that you know how he sees you. And then once you do it once, you're going to find this excitement and this burden to keep doing it. That once you've obeyed God and you've seen his faithfulness, now there's a passion to keep obeying God. The only way for you to be faithful to obedience is to be confident in who God is and how much he loves you. And the belief that wherever he calls you to go, he's already there. Stand with me this morning. I want to invite my prayer team down. We're going to do a couple things here. Kyle, I'll let you get this. Thank you, sir. I want to talk for a moment to those of you that you know the Spirit of God's been telling you to do something and you've been fighting it. There's been a fear in it. You've been wanting to obey him, but there's that hesitation. And I'm already letting you know right now to be set free from the condemnation of the hesitation. But you also have to trust God and let go. I want you to understand that God is for you, not against you. That God's plans for you are to prosper, that he has your best interests in heart. And so what he's asking you to do is better for you. So close your eyes right now. Father, I just pray that you would begin to speak to their heart. Whatever area of their life that you're calling them to obedience, come on, just lean in for a second. Some of you, you already know what it is. You knew it the second I started talking about it. But before we get into that, let's establish how God loves you. Let's establish how God sees you. Let's establish that God does not make a mistake. Let's establish that God's vantage point is better than yours, greater than yours. Let's establish that His plan is best for you. So whatever He's asking you to do, whatever area He's asking you to obey, it's better for you. It's better for you. Father, we need your strength this morning. Some of us, we have to obey in a big thing, a difficult thing. Some of us, it's in the small things. But we're leaning into you for your strength, for your help. I want to take a second right now. I want to invite you down for prayer. If you're in here, you say, look, there is something, there's an area of my life where I'm wanting to obey God, but it's difficult. I'm struggling and I need prayer. I need somebody to pray for me. I need to share with them what I'm dealing with and what God's calling me to do. And I just need people to agree with me. If that's you, come down. Don't leave this place this morning without an opportunity to be prayed for. That the obedience of God would be evident in your life. For the rest of us, let's just right now, in complete surrender, be open to whatever God's calling us to do. Come on, right now, just be open. Just say, God, what are you asking me to do? In what area of my life are you asking me to obey you? In my relationships, in my finances, in my faith walk, in my career. What area, God? Come on, lean into it. What area are you calling me to be obedient? Open your mind to it. Open your heart to it. And let's worship and let's seek His face and let's allow Him an answer with a posture and an attitude of, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will trust you. I will trust you. Hallelujah.